This hour of Kevin Miller in the Morning is brought to you by Tway Travel, your adventure travel specialists. Fighting for America.
I've really enjoyed the campaign. It's been a good experience to travel our state.
I think it was a great way to wrap up what has been a very energetic campaign.
Fighting for Idaho.
Politics is a lot like riding a tiger, and that's really true. You never know when the tiger's going to buck you off and eat you.
Everything we do helps somebody else, not help somebody else. You have to do what you really believe is right.
Fighting for you.
I'm voting because I care about gun control.
I'm voting for education, health care.
I'm voting because when I was growing up, my father told me that if you don't vote, then you have to shut up.
Boise's Mr. Right.
On November 4th, make sure you go out and vote.
Kevin Miller in the Morning, winner of the 2014 Marconi Radio Award on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
I like that one. If you don't vote, shut up. Anyway, good morning. Thank you for joining us. Kevin Miller in the Morning, 580 KIDO. Do want to remind you, I'll be at the Riverside tonight beginning at 7 o'clock. Live blogging, taking photos, giving you real-time analysis. We'll be updating the website. And, of course, tomorrow morning we'll give you a chance to sound off on the results. Joining us now, Chairman of the State Republican Party, Stephen Yates. Mr. Yates, good morning.
Good morning, Kevin. Great to be with you.
So have you moved into your second home yet, or are you still in Idaho Falls this morning, sir?
Well, I've made my way to Boise. I'm not really ready to call it my second home, but, hotel rooms don't quite have the same feel. Happy to be here. I'm excited about tonight.
It seems like you're here an awful lot when you're not traveling around the state for you. And again, you're still in real time because the campaign continues until the polls close. Your thoughts on what has been a long, hard road, if you will, of bringing back the Republican Party?
Well, I mean, I look at the Republican Party as an army of volunteers, literally thousands and thousands of people around the state. So I don't necessarily attribute any of what progress has occurred to my personal efforts necessarily, but it's really trying to engage and listen to, mobilize, and support that army of volunteers. There are two people who are in paid positions in the Idaho Republican Party, and both of them work in the office here in Boise. All of the rest of us, almost everyone in the party, is a volunteer. And so the general election has been an interesting season to work through in engaging all those other volunteers. I mean, really, you just have to remember, as a party, we're not legislators, we're not governors, but we do nominate and support and seek to influence a lot of those people, and it's been a good season to work through.
Is the Republican Party stronger than when it was when you took over?
Well, I guess it depends on how you would measure that. In some ways, people will measure it by the results tonight. We have been able to improve the fiscal health of the party in some ways. But I think most importantly, we've worked very, very hard to engage with legislators and their legislative leadership, engage with the governor and the statewide candidates, made my way around pretty much the whole state. Can't say I've covered everything since August 2nd, but a lot of the state I've been around to. Made an effort to listen and to share with people what I see is my priorities as chairman and where I hope the party goes. Listen to some people who don't care much for some of the things I've done and said, but that's sort of life in politics. But a lot of places basically found a common cause with a lot of the good folks in our party.
Have you... You continue to stand by your decision to welcome back Senator Craig. Has he been a help to helping the party get the money?
He has been a help, and I stand by my decision. But at the same time, our effort to lead the party and execute what we do in the party, it's led first and foremost by me, but implemented in consultation with our region chairs and our county chairs, our legislative district chairs, and the office that we have here in Boise. So there's an awful lot of our work that is not involved with what the finance team is doing. And there's still a lot of fundraising that's done by the chairman and the executive director. So we remain hard at work on that front. We've had some positive feedback and people expressing support for our team and what we've tried to do through this cycle. But we've got a lot of work coming out of the election, too. And we'll have meetings in January that set the tone for the 2016 cycle. I know that it's a little early for people, maybe too soon on the morning of Election Day in 2014, but the work of the party continues after, too.
Do you believe it'll be a clean sweep tonight, constitutional offices?
Well, I live by some of the truisms that I have preached over the years, and Yogi Berra-like, it's not over till it's over, and you just can't tell which way voters are going to go. I respect the ballots as they're cast. I accept them when they're put in there and learn from the voters as we go through the cycle. I think that there is a good chance that the Republican ticket will do exceedingly well nationally and statewide here. And you know, we have polled very, very well in most of the races. There is one race that is very much more competitive, and we'll be watching closely tonight, the Superintendent of Public Instruction. But we've had some very good numbers that have come in to give us confidence on that race, too. We just have to wait and see.
What about the governor's race? It's been historic, considering how competitive it's been, and also historic of how much money has been spent.
Well, it's one of those things where there's kind of a lot of things said about the Republican Party brand, where supposedly our side is the one that raises more, spends more, is closer to business money, et cetera, et cetera. But in our state in this cycle, the Democrat challengers for governor, superintendent of public instruction, and secretary of state have outspent their counterparts by a significant degree. And there's been outside money that comes in some of those races that's been quite significant. Somewhat like our primary season, there's some outside ad buys that have caught people's attention. I am much, much more focused on citizen involvement, party involvement, and what we can do to get real people engaged in these campaigns. I'm not a huge fan of the outside money that sweeps in, but it's the constitutional right of candidates to seek it. I just think it should all be much more clearly disclosed.
Stephen Yates joining us, chairman of the state GOP. Kevin Miller in the morning, 580 KIDO. Let me hit you with this one. How do you see, you brought this up, a couple races that are competitive, the crucial Secretary of State race?
Well, I mean, I personally like Lawrence Denny. And if I weren't the chairman of the Republican Party, I would still be advocating strongly on his behalf in this race. And I do think that there's important work to do in the Secretary of State's office. There are important things changing in our country. There's executive action that I see as being, I think, politely aggressive. And if I wanted to be impolite, I'd say stretching, maybe even going around the Constitution when it comes to questions of amnesty and other efforts that the Obama administration may take, that I think will be a challenge to secretaries of state and their equivalents across the country. I don't believe showing an ID is an onerous restriction when coming to vote, any more than it was an onerous restriction for Colin Powell every time he wanted to enter an Army base during his decades of service to our country. So I think it's important to have someone who is focused on making sure that elections are run orderly, properly, in easily verified ways, and like I said, making sure that the funding that that seems to come into our state during election cycles is more clearly disclosed. Whereas I think Lawrence Denny's counterpart in this election, the competition, says just wants to make it easier to vote. Now, I voted early in this cycle. I went to the elections office in Idaho Falls, pulled up right in front of the door, walked straight in, maximum of 10 minutes, voted, showed my ID, got everything done. They said, thank you, I was on my way. I just don't know you can make it easier than it is in our state already. When you say make it easier, you probably mean helping people who don't necessarily have the right to vote get in.
Let's go to Ron Paul Jim, who's been incredibly patient at 580 KIDO. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. I just wanted to ask, with all the things that were happening with the GOP and during the primaries and during, the choosing of chairman and representatives of the party I think you know what I'm talking about when what happened at the Republican caucus. that division, one side representing the people, the grassroots level of, you know, wanting to go back to the constitutional roots of the country, versus the establishment GOP that are seem to very little difference between the Democrats when they're in power. Do you really see a difference in the, and you know, it used to be that the Republican Party, or at least the GOP, always had the mantle of being less government, less taxes, less spending, but that hasn't proven to be the case for many years now. And so I'm just wondering, would you really see this a change occurring here? Maybe one goes a little slower than the other. One tends to use a different crisis type motivation for their agenda, you know, outwardly.
This is like almost a 2-minute run up here to the question.
Sorry, I'm trying to paint both parties in. There's a lot of similarities, you know, but they both use campaigns of fear, and neither one of them actually have solved the problem. Neither one of them have changed the direction of this country except towards more government, more statism.
Well, let the chairman jump in here then.
Okay.
Well, I appreciate the question, and I think I understand where it's coming from. I never try to presume, but I know what other people are thinking. But I do understand that this has been an unusual year, and the Republican Party had an unusual journey through this year in the state of Idaho. I also try to live by notions of we influence the areas in which our responsibilities reach, and so in working with the state party, it's a little bit much to try to speak on behalf of a national party or where our national leadership is going. And there's an awful lot almost everyone in Idaho would have by way of criticism and concern about where things are going for America nationally. And obviously, if the Republican Party had been more effective in earlier election cycles, we would not have had a President Obama, and his agenda would not have moved as far as it has.
And we hope
that tonight begins that turn.
Nobody saw a difference between Romney and Obama. If anything, we thought, at least in my opinion, that if Romney won and did the same thing anywhere close to what Obama is doing, we would have destroyed the party once and for all. There would have been no difference whatsoever. Nobody could have chosen between parties. And what has happened locally is that when rules were being voted on in the local GOP,
I think we're kind of lost in the minutiae here, Ron Paul.
Yeah, Jim. You know what I'm saying. The local.
I'm with you, but I mean, you've gone from the Republican Party to the Obama to everything else. I think we get your point. I just don't know.
Well, they were violating their own rules in electing representatives, you know, chairmen and things like that, and doing it unilaterally
Right, but is there a question here? We've already gone over this.
Well, yeah, there is a question here. Do you see this tide shifting or changing towards a more you never even hear the word constitution out of the Republican Party, very little.
And okay, so do you feel it's going more constitutional? Ron Paul, Jim, thank you for the call. Chairman Yates, hang on. We'll let you answer that in a second. It is election day. More election coverage continues. Time for traffic at 580 KIDO.
Spend it, donate it, or splurge with it. Your chance at $1,000 in cash is coming up. It's the $1,000 cash call on 580 KIDO.
Hey, Millie in the morning. Kevin Miller with you here, 725. Big election night tonight, 725. It is 47 degrees. By the way, we do have some pride here at 580KIDO. We would love for you to win that money, because then we can tell all the jabronis here in the broadcast center that we had a winner throughout this contest. So 9 a.m. is the hour to listen, and 4 p.m. as well. So during Glenn Beck and Sean Hannity, your chance to win $1,000. Joining us once again, Chairman of the State Republican Party, Stephen Yates. And getting back to what Ron Paul Jim said, he said y'all had a lot of controversy. Is it going to be better when you have folks that want to be more traditionalist conservatives and others that want to perhaps do the same thing, but look to expand the dimensions of the Republican Party.
Well, Kevin, I mean, he said one thing that stuck out to me is he hardly ever hears the word Constitution coming from our candidates or from the party, and that just hasn't been my experience. I don't claim that my experience is everyone's experience, but I spent an awful lot of time traveling the state, and I went on that bus tour of 10 days going around the state. Every single event I heard our candidates talk about the Constitution, every set of remarks I make an effort, maybe not 1,000%, but ever make an effort, in the core script that I give to every audience that mentions the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, all of the things that we need to stand for together at state level and nationally. And I do think that the Republican Party of Idaho is the one place you go where people believe in one nation under God, that they believe in all of the Bill of Rights and want to support politicians and policies that protect those things, protect institutions like traditional family and private enterprise and independent charity. And everywhere I go, I try to talk about those things and focus on those areas where I think a very large majority of Republicans, conservatives, independents, unaffiliateds in Idaho basically agree. And that's where I think we have to work. I mean, when you're a part of a large organization, you have to identify the core missions that you can get a large number of people to agree on and work toward. There's part of a politics that I find less rewarding. A friend of mine described it as everyone is an expert on diagnosis, but few are deliverers of prescriptions that can work with a large group. And that's our challenge. We need to work on advancing our principles with the people that we have. And if we don't like the people we have, then people need to step forward and win. It's a numbers game. And as chairman, I basically seek to be a referee, but also somewhat of an inspiration to encourage more people to get involved, make their case. But in the end, it's the numbers that count, and that's where we move.
Let's go to Garrett in Sand Hollow at 580 KIDO for Chairman Yates. Good morning, Garrett.
Hey, good morning, fellas. Chairman Yates, quick question. But first, I absolutely agree that the GOP in Idaho is a far cry from the GOP nationally, and so I kind of hear what Jim was saying. But my question for you is that you said that your guys' goal is to influence legislators and the governor, and so specifically with the governor, and then I'm going to hang up so I can hear your answer. But what in what areas are you wanting to influence him? Are there any areas you're wanting to influence him differently? I believe that Butch Otter is going to win, but is there any place you want to influence him differently, or what are your goals for the governor's office after the elections? You know, so we can, I don't know, just kind of see where you're wanting to take the party. Appreciate your time.
Thank you, Garrett.
I think it's important to remember the governor will have his own mandate. He will be elected by people tonight, as are our legislators. The party is the organization that nominates them and supports them through the process between the primary and through the general. I don't have a mandate from the voters of Idaho to tell the governor what he should do. I do have a mandate to work respectfully and collaboratively with the governor, who comes from my own party, to try to make sure that he understands where we're coming from and that we understand where he intends to go. I've had a fair amount of time to deal with him directly through this campaign and look forward to consulting with him after he's reelected tonight. But we have known challenges over the horizon that the governor himself will talk about, continuing the economic expansion. I want to try to be as supportive as I can of pro-business policies because I think they're good for the state, pro-enterprise policies, small business policies, things like that. We'll have the challenge of Medicaid expansion that's going to be pushed by the federal level, and we want to talk through what are our choices as a state. How do we remain more independent and self-reliant as a state and preserving our sovereignty jealously. I've heard the governor speak multiple times in ways that are consistent with the principles that we've stood for as a party through this campaign, and just look forward to working together to make sure that that's where things go. I've heard nothing from him that would indicate otherwise.
Let's go to Daryl with the Canyon County Tea Party for Chairman Yates. Good morning, Daryl.
Good morning, gentlemen. Great morning. It's really pretty sunrise out there. You probably can't see that, though. But I was wondering, I wanted to ask Mr. Gates, what happened to your listening tour? I've been looking for a schedule and talking to people on your cabinet, and I can't find it on your website even, and was wondering where you were going to be so I could be there maybe to ask you some questions. Where can I find the schedule and where you're going to be lately? That's all I have to ask, and don't let them grind you down, Kevin.
Thank you, Daryl. We'll see you.
Well, I have this listening tour was not a formal construct. It was basically an approach that I aimed to take after being elected on August 2nd and traveling the state as much as I possibly could. And didn't have the infrastructure within the state party to organize a formal schedule and put things up on a website. And I didn't want, during a general election season, the focus to be on me. I wanted the focus to be on our candidates and the work that we aim to do together as a party. And so there won't ever be something up on the website that is talking about something that promotes me. But I have traveled the entire state, maybe not every single county. And when I do, I try as best I can first to consult and collaborate with the elected officers of our party. I think that they've volunteered a unique amount of their time, and I owe them a special obligation to hear where they are headed and what their concerns are. And so I've focused on region chairs, county chairs, and to the extent I could, legislative district chairs. I have had the opportunity to address a number of county central committees, and we'll be increasing that number going forward through 2015. Certainly the best way to find out where I'll be and whether there's an opportunity to hear me speak or present questions to me, I'd welcome that, is to stay in touch with our executive director here in Boise and stay in touch with your county central committee and your region chairs. And when I come through the different regions of the state, I certainly look for opportunities to address groups and to hear what they have to say. But a lot of this initial stage has been internal consultations with officers of the party, addressing some groups, and as we go through 2015, a little bit more of outreach and listening to groups who are outside the officers of the party. But that's kind of how I aim to unfold. And, of course, speaking with you, Kevin, and your listeners is one of the ways I definitely hear where people are coming from and try to be respectful of that and answer things as candidly and directly as I can.
Well, we always try and make it entertaining for you. We'll see you tonight, sir.
Thanks very much, Kevin.
Take care. There we have it, State Chairman Stephen Yates. Remember, tonight we'll be live blogging from the Riverside. If you're there, stop by and see me. I'll be the frumpy-looking guy with the laptop trying to make it entertaining. We'll be updating the website, 580kido.com, so make sure you take advantage of that as well. And, of course, tomorrow morning will be nonstop reaction to tonight's election. 7:34, you're listening to Kevin Miller, 580KIDO.
Dave Ramsey, weekdays at noon. Now back to Kevin Miller on 580KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
And let's go live to the Granite State from the Gem State. Bill Marcus joins us from Fox News Radio to describe in detail and predict perhaps the one of the most watched Senate races, Shaheen versus Brown. Bill, good morning.
Good morning, Kevin. I'm not going to predict for you, but I'll let you know what's going on here on the ground.
Well, I'll tell you, one of my old stomping grounds, the Granite State, and it's true that there they look at politics the way most places look at football. This must be, you know, second only to the primary, what you're seeing in this Senate race.
They're the most polled voters in the entire country. I've spoken to a number of them during this campaign, and that's a statistic. I think they get asked about eight times a year by polling agencies where they stand on things, because they're the first in the nation. And here in this Senate race between Gene Shaheen and Scott Brown, they've got the eyes of the nation on them as well, because what happens here when the polls close tonight, local time, 8, which is for you is, what, 4 in the morning? I don't know. when the polls close here, they're going to, it's expected it's going to be a cascading effect throughout the country. So President Obama's numbers here are 38, and Scott Brown has been hitting Jean Shaheen on that, saying that she votes with the president 99% of the time. And Jean Shaheen has been running on local issues. Like one commentator said, she's running for mayor of New Hampshire. But she's got the back of that up. You know, she's been the governor here. And she's been in politics in New Hampshire for 22 years. And Scott Brown, of course, was a U.S. senator from Massachusetts. And he grew up here, but he actually just moved here in April.
Yeah, it's tough. And having gone toe-to-toe with then-state Senator Shaheen, she'll back down to no one. Bill, final question here. Could the Clinton magic help Shaheen? She's got big connections to the Clintons, not so much with the president.
What I've been anybody's guess. Clinton was here. I saw him. He was here for the Jefferson Jackson event, and the room was full, and the Democrats were energized. So yes, possibly. I mean that it was electricity in that room, and that's a lot more than I've seen when I've been in rooms full of Republicans. Not that the Republicans are not excited and enthusiastic, but it just doesn't seem to be that many of them as activists. Now, Kevin, that said, I'm out here in the early morning in a parking lot in Salem, New Hampshire, and polls statewide are going to open here in about 15 minutes, but these polls opened at 7 a.m., and it's Republicans that have been coming out in the morning, and they're mentioning national issues. They're talking about immigration, health care. They say things like, I want to stop Obama's takeover of the country through amnesty. You know, so I don't know. I don't know. I'll tell you what I see.
Well, no, I'll tell you, we appreciate it, Bill. A great contrast. You have one trying to be the mayor of New Hampshire, the other trying to nationalize it. You have a great time. You'll enjoy that there tonight, sir.
Oh, please give my best to Boise. That is one of my favorite cities. I've been there about four times. One of my dear, dear childhood friends, Curtis Thaden, is there, and I come out to see him all the time. And if he's listening, I hope he hears his voice.
Well, Bill, the next time you're out, don't be a stranger and stop in.
Well, I certainly will. Thanks a lot.
Take care. There we have it. Bill Marcus joining us from Fox News Radio. Hey, the magic of the Treasure Valley goes everywhere. Speaking of magic, I don't know if I'd call you that. Where are you going to be tonight there, buddy?
Me?
Yeah, no, Timmy, you, yes.
Yeah, I'll be, I go both to the Republicans and the Democrats and, you know.
Well, hey, stop by and see me tonight. I'll be at the Republicans, blogging, looking grumpy.
Okay, I'll do that.
And maybe I'll take a picture and we'll put it on the website. Wouldn't that be exciting for you?
Yeah, it'd be pretty nice.
Your big worldwide exposure.
Right.
By the way, Pro-Life joins us now at 580 KIDO with Kevin Miller. Hello, Pro-Life.
Hello there. Hey, just after this election, what we need to do is whoever's elected to the legislature and the governor, whoever that is, we need to ask them to get Idaho out of the marriage business. We could just drop marriage licenses. We could adjust our tax returns a little bit to take care of that. And, hey, we could just go right on and then, you know, if you were gay, you'd have to have a gay church to marry you.
And, you're saying that now we should have a gay church?
No. I mean, the gay...
What would a gay church look like?
How would
you decorate that?
Yeah, it would... Well, it'd be kind of crazy to really go to church there, but there are a few that are like that. There's one Jewish congregation that's pretty much gay, and right here in Boise. So anyway, we need to really continue the moral fight. That's all I'm saying. And if we get out of gay marriage, I mean, we could do it by just dropping marriage licenses. We could be the first state to do that. That would be really good.
Hey, I got a question for you. You've already predicted the governor is going to win.
Right.
What about some of the other races? How do you see that state school superintendent race going?
I don't know. I have no idea. And I'm going to skip it because I'm not in favor of public education. I think it's communist education. So
you know, it's a tough vote for me tonight whether to go for you or Pankey.
Yeah, right. Well,
I mean, you contribute to the program, yet Pankey came out as a gay man in Idaho and a very religious gay man.
I know he's.
That is a tough call for me as far as my vote.
Well, it's honorable that he's being honest.
Yeah, and, I would agree with you.
Yeah, and I pray for him. He needs help. You shouldn't really say you're Christian and you're pro-gay. He's really saying he's not pro-gay. He knows he's wrong. He needs to just get over those desires. He needs a wife. That's what he needs.
You're urging Steve Pankey to marry a woman?
Yeah, I am.
What type of woman would be good for him?
His kind of woman. I don't know.
Well, he said he's gay.
Yeah, I know. But he told me earlier in the year that he had a girlfriend he was dating, and he thought that all this gay talk might destroy his relationship with his girlfriend.
What?
That's right. He told me that. So that's why I'm saying we need to pray for him, because he's on the fence.
Well, we need to bring him back.
We do.
You know, that's tough when, you know, somebody goes to the other team.
Right, because being gay is a non-life position. Gays don't have babies, and we need more babies, lots of them.
Well, you know, we always encourage people to have their own opinions, but I'm trying to be humorous on this, but you're serious.
I am, totally.
I'm trying to figure it out. Maybe, well, you know, we were supposed to have Pat from Middleton be a bachelor, our
no.
bachelor, but he, now maybe we could have Steve Pankey. Maybe we could have the love connection. We could have two guys for the ladies to choose from.
Yeah, we should. We should have, you could have a non-gay Christian dating program right here.
Well, isn't that inclusive?
Yeah.
All right, Pro-Life, thank you for the call.
All right, bye.
I don't know where that one was going. Dan and Meridian at 580 KIDO. Good morning, Dan.
Good morning. Well, I wished, you know, I would have, well, I let me put it this way. I wish pro-life would have ran. I think people waked up to his truths.
Oh, he did. He did run. He did run. He's on the ballot.
Not for governor.
I believe he isn't. I thought he is. Yeah. Yeah, he's on the ballot.
Oh, he is?
Mm-hmm.
Well, he's got my vote then.
Well, there you have it. Miracles happen. You'll see him today.
Yeah,
he's on the ballot.
I want the listeners to know. This man has, I've listened to him for years, and I've always been impressed with him, even though that a lot of people can't understand truth. Or they think they know it, but when they're really faced with it, they'll go on the evil end of the picture, because they think that's the better end of it. But everything he's ever said, spot on. I don't know how else to tell you, the people out there, that there's an opportunity to change and to get somebody in there that has morals, and that would be the man.
So you believe that everybody else running has no morals?
Very few. They might have one or two, maybe three or four, but hey, what's it going to take to have real leadership? Somebody who is a statesman. A statesman is somebody who really understands, you know, everything about what this country is based on. Freedom. And when you look at the full picture of that, you have to understand that with everything that this country was built upon, we've got to get back to it. Or it's doomed to fail. It can't sustain this kind of garbage that we're getting. It's not working.
Dan and Meridian, thank you for the call. 580-5436. It is 752. Kevin Miller and
Don Hannity. Weekdays at 3. Now, back to Kevin Miller on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Kevin Miller in the morning. It is 7:57. Coming up, what would Election Day be without our friend Phil Hardy? Phil will break down all the races. We'll take your calls. Conservative, progressive, establishment, grassroots, all coming up in the 8 o'clock hour. So we'll talk to Phil about that. We'll also take more of your phone calls here at 580-5436. Kevin at KIDOAM.com. You can follow me on Twitter, Kevin Miller Show, my Facebook, Kevin Miller Show. And, of course, as always, we have our station Twitter at 580KIDO. And just our way of getting messages out to you all the time, we understand that you're on the social media, you're on these other places. We want to make sure that you're good to go with the up-to-date, accurate opinion and information you only get here at 580KIDO. Time for traffic now. 47 in Caldwell, Kevin Miller in the morning. Remember, when it comes to election coverage, trust us here at 580KIDO. Join me tonight at the Riverside Hotel. Come by, say hello. We'll have some stimulating thoughts and, of course, pictures, interviews the next day at 580 KIDO. Coming up next, Fox News on the radio, and we'll talk a little bit about school safety, what you should and should know concerning threats to your kids. That's next. Kevin Miller.
Serving Meridian.